Mike Dubin, and welcome again, beloved, to a few moments of fellowship around the precious Word of the Lord. This is Bob Driggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're continuing in our thoughts concerning the greatest treasure, which is the written and living Word of God. And we've been looking in Psalm 19, in the middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms, and Psalm 19, and verse 7, as we're talking about the Word of God. Here we see a number of different references to God's Word using different terminology. And the one we're talking about is the law of the Lord. And we've gone to the book of Exodus, which is the second book in the Bible, and we've been looking at chapter 20 in the book of Exodus, and there we saw how that the law of the Lord is given to Moses on Mount Sinai, and Moses recorded these truths, which were to be guidelines and the basic to man's understanding of right and wrong. And so last time we talked about how that the first four have to do with man's relationship to God, and the last six have to do with man's relationship to man. And we were discussing how that we're all guilty of having transgressed these laws in some form or in some way. The last time we spoke, we were talking about, and we ended with verse 15 of Exodus chapter 20, "Thou shalt not steal." To take that which belongs to someone else is to steal that which is not ours, and that is breaking God's law. There's no excuses for breaking the law of God. Man tries to excuse many of his actions and much of his behavior, but we see it's a violating of the truth, a violation of the truth, and a breaking of the Word of God and the law of the Lord. Verse 16 of Exodus 20 states, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." This has to do with lying, the sin of lying, deceiving someone, trying to cover up our sin, trying to make things appear as they are not, and deceiving and lying to someone. Lying about our neighbor, lying about our actions, lying about something that we've done. This is sin and a violation of the law of God. And then finally, the verse 17 of Exodus 20 states, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And thus we see the sin of covetousness. And there's many things that covetousness covers, many different types of sin that's covered by that one law. And thus we see over in Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. There is no flaw in God's law. It's complete and it's perfect. And it convicts of sin. It makes us to realize what is right and what is wrong. And then the next statement is, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." God's Word has many wonderful testimonies of His working in the lives of men and women, how He has directed and used their lives to bring forth fruit to His praise, His honor, and His glory, how that they have lived a righteous life that has glorified Him, or they have slipped and fallen into sin, and some terrible sin which has brought dishonor and disgrace upon the name of the Lord. And these are testimonies that we find throughout the Word of God. One of the testimonies that's very clear violation of God's word was one of the kings of Israel named David, a great king that Israel had, and David committed adultery. That is, he sinned in committing this sexual act with the wife of one of the men that was in the army under David's power and control. And thus God sent his prophet to warn David about his sin and to tell him what he had done wrong. And David acknowledged his sin, confessed his sin, but he had to pay the penalty for his sin. You see, even though we sin and disobey God, and he forgives us for our sin, there are often consequences for sin. And the ultimate result of sin is death, which is the separation of the soul and spirit from the body. And thus we see that which we've all experienced. This is what caused heartache in the world. This is what's caused sickness. This is what's called calamity and caused all kinds of problems in the human race. And it all began back in the Garden of Eden. That's why this book is so important, because it reveals to us all the facts concerning why mankind is in the condition that it's in today, and the problems that are created, the wars, the suffering, the sorrow, the false religions. All of these things are revealed and made clear and known through the Word of the Living God. And thus we see the importance of God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It makes man to realize that when we sin against God and violate His Word, that there will be consequences. Then the statutes of the Lord, the specific instructions that the Lord has given, rejoicing the heart. When we walk in obedience to the Lord, when we have done what would please and glorify Him, it rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That is, it opens up our understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And this word, the fear of the Lord, has reference to honoring, respecting, and glorifying the Lord God, magnifying Him. It's not that we're afraid of God, but it has reference to our respect and our honor and our realizing who God is and our thus seeking to obey Him. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's judgment is without any error. God judges righteously. Man can put on a front. Our trials today, the courts that we have, do their best to judge correctly, but oftentimes there is wrong judgment. Because we human beings make mistakes. We judge by what we see. We judge by what is presented to us. And oftentimes our judgment is not accurate. It's not correct. But God's judgment is accurate. God's judgment is correct. While man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. He sees the motivation behind our actions. He knows whether we're sincere or whether we're putting on a facade and a false front. God's judgments are just. And therefore, verse 10 of Psalm 19 says, more to be desired are these, the law, the word of God. More to be desired are they than gold. All of these different aspects of God's word are more to be desired than gold. Now, gold, you know, is much sought after in the world we're living in, and yet God's Word is of more value and has more meaning to purpose and reason for living than gold does, beloved. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, the truths of God's Word, all the joy and the blessing that the Word of God brings into our life. When you're reading God's Word and you run across a nugget of truth, it thrills your heart. It makes your heart to rejoice. This is one reason that I love to go to the house of God. I love to hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed, because when you get through at the end of the service, it's been a blessing. It's brought pleasure. It's brought joy. It's brought fulfillment. You've learned some things that will make your life more meaningful and more fulfilled and more satisfied. And that's why we need to come together to worship the Lord, to hear the Word of God proclaimed, to fellowship with the saints of God. It strengthens us in our walk and in our daily talk and our living with the Lord. Now there's one other psalm that I want to bring to your attention concerning the written Word of God, and that is Psalm 119. This entire psalm, composed of 176 verses, which were instilled into the writing of this psalm to help us to locate different passages of Scripture. That's why there's numbers that divide up the various passages of Psalm 119, so that we can go to different verses and pick out different truths that are revealed. Now here in Psalm 119, verse 1, he says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." The way is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God the Father but through me." Jesus Christ is the way to the Father, but Jesus Christ is also the way to truth. And beloved, he says, "Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way, who walk with their life centered around Jesus Christ, seeking to honor and glorify Him, who walk in the law of the Lord." When we live to the honor, glory, and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll obey God's Word. We'll do that which God's Word instructs us to do. Now, beloved, our time's gone once again, but we look forward to meeting with you next time. Until then, goodbye.